I'm Steve Kraske, and this is KCUR's Up to Date. When you've heard the sirens go off and you've seen the severe weather notifications pop up on your phone, you know that it's officially tornado season. Each year here in the Kansas City region, we can experience tornadoes at much higher rates than most of America. But what is it that earned this part of the country the nickname Tornado Alley? Today, a meteorologist and emergency preparedness expert explains why this area is so often impacted by these natural phenomena, if technology is getting better at finding them, and offers advice for how to make an emergency plan for when a tornado strikes. We'll get you up to date after this hour's news. This is Up to Date on KCUR 89.3. I'm Steve Kraske. As part of Severe Weather Awareness Week, statewide tornado alerts were heard in Missouri earlier this month. The drill was just a proactive measure to make sure residents are prepared for inclement weather like this. Just 2 weeks ago, a tornado touched down in Johnson County, damaging 20 homes during its brief and destructive path. Residents of Tornado Alley, which covers most of the Midwest, need to have a plan in place should a tornado warning be initiated. The Kansas City area is not unused to these effects of these destructive events, as we've seen in Linwood, Kansas, Joplin, and Liberty in recent years. With us now to explain why this area is so affected by these natural phenomena and to share practical tips for how to be prepared is Dr. Kevin Klazel. He's director of the Oklahoma Climatological Survey. He's also the meteorologist for OU's Office of Emergency Preparedness. Kevin, nice to have you. Good morning.
Good morning. It's great to be here. I can tell from the news already that, you know, weather is expensive, right? I mean, whether it's cold, whether it's tornadoes, it doesn't go away.
That's for sure. Well, explain to us, Kevin, if you would, why is the Midwest so prone to experiencing all these tornadoes each year?
Well, I think if you've ever been bowling, you kind of have this idea that, you know, there's a lane there, and that lane where the ball is supposed to go down and hit the pins has kind of these gutters on either side, or if you put the gutter guards up, that's kind of how the Rocky Mountains and the Appalachian Mountains work in the U.S. It channels warm, moist air out of the Gulf of Mexico right up through the spine of the Southern Great Plains, so North Texas, Oklahoma, Kansas, Nebraska, into the Dakotas. And that alley, and that's why we call it Tornado Alley, is very much the epicenter where everything meets. I think if you were at the bowling lane and somebody was at the pin side and trying to roll something back the other way, would the two balls always hit each other? No, but if they did hit, then you get these massive collisions in the middle, and that's what produces tornadoes.
You know, under what conditions do these things form, Kevin?
So we need warm, humid air, first of all, that moisture that comes out of the Gulf of Mexico. Then you need some way of lifting it. And usually the things you hear most around here, cold front, dry line. So some mechanism for a density difference that then lifts that air. And then winds coming across from the west, which will serve to help spin that air coming in from the south. So you need the wind shear for spin, you need moisture, and you need some way of lifting it.
And those things don't come together, thank goodness, all that often, right?
Yeah, thankfully, but, you know, we still have over, you know, sometimes up to 2,000 tornadoes in the country every year.
Wow.
The one forecast I always get asked here, are we going to have tornadoes this year? That's the easiest forecast the meteorologist has ever had to make. That answer is yes, right? That answer is always yes. Can I tell you how many? No, but you have to be prepared for the one that could hit you.
You know, how well these days can we track these events using modern tracking technology and methods? And do you foresee a day when we'll actually be able to pinpoint any tornado that's on the ground now, or can we already do that?
Well, we've made some significant strides in the last two decades. I think if you harken back into the late 90s, where we had these big tornado outbreaks in the Midwest, that you were hearing about the word tornado that afternoon, right? Maybe 2 to 3 o'clock that afternoon, somebody would mention the word tornado, and then you had to prepare for 4 o'clock, 5 o'clock, whatever the case may be. Now, the Storm Prediction Center, the NOAA Storm Prediction Center, which is right here in Norman, Oklahoma, can really look at the ingredients and the presence of those ingredients days out. And you can start to get a proactive read on whether the ingredients for tornadoes might be present, say, like tomorrow in the south again, across Mississippi and Alabama. You can start preparing today for those tornadoes in Mississippi and Alabama tomorrow, because we've gotten so much better at reading the ingredients.
Huh. 5-10 years down the road, how much better will the technology be, do you think?
I think we will get to the point where you will have an opportunity to have directly to your cell phone whether you are at risk or not, right? Not these larger areas, but right down to the neighborhood level of you're at risk of a tornado this afternoon. I think that's coming within the next 5 years.
I mean, that's pretty amazing.
I think so, right? And we've got a number of great people that are working on that. And of course, there's always uncertainty associated with meteorology, but it's getting to the point where with the radar technologies that we have and the modeling technologies that we have, that we're going to be far better at pinpointing locations than we've ever been up to this point.
We're talking about tornadoes and what we can expect this season with Dr. Kevin Klazel. He's director of the Oklahoma Climatological Survey. What is it about tornadoes, Kevin, that we still don't understand?
Well, I think that what we don't understand with respect to tornadoes is why one storm that looks exactly the same as, say, a second storm, and one produces a tornado and the other one gets very close to, might have a funnel cloud, but doesn't actually produce that tornado. So we have a number of researchers that are out in the field every year trying to answer this kind of holy grail question of tornadoes, why this storm does and why the other storm that looks like it doesn't. And that's still the challenge on the research side.
You know, there are still all these myths out there about tornadoes that I'm sure you've had to address over and over again over the years. There's one myth I thought it would be important to address right now, and that's this idea that tornadoes don't hit cities. Not true,
oh,
is it?
No, it isn't. And I think we don't have to look far, right? I mean, Dallas, Fort Worth, Birmingham, Miami, Salt Lake City, Nashville. Wow. I mean, it seems like over the last several years that, you know, you could almost say the other thing, right? It's like, wow, tornadoes only hit cities. But that's certainly not true, right? The footprint of the atmosphere is much larger than anything we have, you know, going on the ground, whether we're rural or whether we're urban. So, for example, the same conditions could span from Kansas City westward, you know, across Emporia and Topeka and all the way out to Wichita and points west, Dodge City even. And you could have the same kind of risk for that entire area on a given day, regardless of whether your footprint is urban or rural.
Are there other myths that sort of drive you crazy about tornadoes?
There's no myth that drives me crazy, because if there are myths, it at least means people are paying attention, right? And trying to understand where tornadoes go, it means the people likely have a healthy respect for them. I think some of that might be wish casting, right? It's like, okay, well, I live by a river, therefore I'm safe. And that's not true. Or I live in a city and therefore I'm safe. That's not true. So, you know, those types of things that tornadoes can't cross rivers or tornadoes don't hit cities, those are all myths. But again, there's still an underlying healthy respect of the tornado, which ultimately is a good thing.
You know, there was that movie Twister that came out, I think, in the 1990s that probably didn't help all this. I mean, my memory of that movie is that it portrayed tornadoes like they were bad guys lurking around the corner of the house, just ready to pounce when you walked by.
Oh my gosh, yes, Hollywood, right? The Hollywood version of tornado and multiple things after that, right? That have just are fascinating to the meteorologist, all the way to Sharknado, right? I mean, it's just,
yes.
It's crazy how you have to remember that's Hollywood. And Hollywood, in many instances, although potentially bringing a better awareness of tornadoes in some circles, they're pretty much fiction. So Don't take any of your safety ideas from a movie. For example, at the end of Twister, you are not going to save yourself by strapping your belt to a pipe and hoping to survive a tornado. That's not going to work.
How did you get interested in this line of work to begin with?
Oh, I think it goes all the way back to my Little League days when I couldn't figure out why in baseball we weren't allowed to play when it rained. Soccer kids could play, the football kids could play in these amazing conditions, right? The frozen tundra and on and on and on. But baseball, you know, suddenly it rains a little bit and we can't play, right? It's a rain out. And I think trying to get over that frustration of not being able to play a sport outdoors, and then ultimately understanding, wow, outdoors is really at risk, right? To all of these things. We saw with the recent cold, we're going to see it again with tornadoes. When we get to summer, we're going to see it with heat. If you are outdoors, you are at risk to the elements, and therefore you need to be prepared.
What are you seeing these days, Kevin, when it comes to the correlation between these destructive weather events like tornadoes and then something like global climate change?
Oh man, the $1 million/$1 billion question, right? There needs to be a distinction made. One, these events that we're talking about, like a tornado or a very cold, record-breaking cold, that's weather. That's not climate. Climate only exists when we look backwards into the archives and we try to get a feel for how often something happens. So for example, the recent cold spell that we had, if this starts happening on a regular basis, we're going to have to try and figure out, okay, what is it about the global weather patterns that have changed? What is it about global climate that has changed to bring this type of situation to us more frequently? Directly with tornadoes, we're not really seeing much of a connection, although in the data, there's an interesting signal that we're seeing fewer days on which there are tornadoes. Now, that doesn't mean let your guard down, because we're seeing the same number of tornadoes. So what we're seeing is that when we have a tornado day, we get a lot of them, and we've seen that now just last week in the South. We'll see it again tomorrow in the Deep South in Mississippi and Alabama. When we have tornado days, there are a lot of people that are going to be impacted.
So it sounds like you're saying that global climate change at least isn't making things worse when it comes to tornadoes.
I would agree with that. We're not seeing any signal that the tornado issue is becoming worse. But again, that doesn't mean, oh, wow, phew, okay, we're good. Again, we're going to have tornadoes in this part of the world every single year, regardless of what the future climate looks like.
You're also the university meteorologist for the OU Office of Emergency Preparedness. How has the pandemic affected the work that your office has done in the last year, Kevin?
Oh, man, it's changed the way we deal with weather specifically. For example, for those areas and maybe some of the rural areas that might have community tornado shelters. Okay, now you have to take very, very great care with how you shelter individuals in tornadoes. And in fact, our recommendation here is stay at home, right? Find your home location that is best suited to withstand tornado. That's an interior room on the lower floor. Put as many walls between you and the outside as possible. Because when you start sheltering in congregate or large number of people settings, you're running a risk of something that is every bit as dangerous or even more so, right? Because the pandemic has killed many more people in just the last year than we've had tornado fatalities in the last 100 years. So we have to weigh the risk. And so we have to think maybe how we tornado shelter differently this spring.
We'll return to my conversation with meteorologist Kevin Claisel in just a moment. And welcome back. This is Up to Date on KCUR's 89.3. I'm Steve Kraske. We're talking about tornadoes and what we can expect this season with Dr. Kevin Claisel. He's director of the Oklahoma Climatological Survey. Kevin, we were talking before the break about this idea of things to think about if a tornado is bearing down on you. What advice would you give to our listeners when it comes to developing a tornado emergency plan? What things should people think about?
Sure. This is the most important thing that any of your listeners can do, and that is identify ways to receive warning information, right? And whether that's a cell phone, a weather radio, your favorite TV station app, or whatever the case may be, have multiple ways of receiving warning information, and then understand the differences between, in specifically with tornadoes, the definition of watch and the definition of the word warning. A watch is like walking into the kitchen and you have the chocolate chips on the counter and you have the flour on the counter and you have the sugar and the milk and eggs, and you know that there may be cookies in the future, but there's no guarantee, right? You've got the ingredients there, which means you're preparing for that dessert later. Now, if you smell those cookies baking in the oven, you know there are cookies on the way, and that is the warning. The warning means that the threat is imminent. Those ingredients have come together to create the hazard. And at that point, it's too late to be running around and finding things. Well, what should be the things you have? You should have already identified a place in your house. And this, again, we really emphasize that sheltering at home is the safest way to go. Find an interior room, lowest floor, away from doors and windows. Now, in that space, you should have shoes. Because when you have tornadoes that go by, windows are the first thing that break. You may be perfectly fine because you've identified the right place in your house, but when you get out of your shelter space, you may have glass on the floor.
Right.
Well, you don't want first responders to have to come get you and carry you out because you're perfectly fine, but because you didn't put on shoes, you can't even get out of your own house or office or whatever the case may be. So have a pair of shoes. The most likely injury that we see are with things that get blown around, and that means the most vulnerable space that you have on your person is your head. We highly recommend that everybody have a bicycle helmet or some helmet.
That's
right? Some people may have motorcycle helmets or football helmets, lacrosse helmets, you name it, right? But have a bicycle helmet or some such helmet, and don't leave it on your bicycle in the garage. Put it in your shelter space. If you have shoes and a helmet in your shelter space, that's the first thing you put on when you get in that shelter. You will be in great shape if you are under the influence of a tornado. If you have pets, make sure they're leashed, right? Have them on a leash, even those crazy feline creatures that I'm not so fond of. But I'll say I'm a dog person.
Yes, me too.
But have a leash. And then ways of getting information, right? Make sure that you've got like a portable cell phone charger that's ready to go so that you can keep your phone charged if the power goes out. A flashlight, particularly if the storms are at night, those kinds of things. But again, protect your head, protect your feet, leash your pets, and have ways of getting information.
That's great information. Does it ever make sense to try to outrun a tornado?
Never. Never, never, never. Being outside in a tornado, it almost goes back to the when we were talking about my Little League experience earlier. If you are outdoors, you are at risk. And trying to outrun a tornado, I mean, we've even had that situation happen in Kansas multiple times in the past decade or so, where people who thought they were in the right place because they expected a tornado to do something, found out that they were not in the right place and either their vehicle was hit or they were hit. We see more tornado fatalities with people outdoors trying to outrun or those kinds of things than we do with people indoors.
The other thing you wonder about sometimes, Kevin, is there anything, you know, that's the least bit predictable about the course or a path that a tornado is going to wind up taking?
No, because the reason being is that tornadoes are somewhat conditioned by what goes on around them. If you have a single storm and the storm is behaving in a certain way, then it becomes more predictable. But if you have multiple storms, and we mentioned this earlier that we're seeing on our tornado ingredient days, we're getting multiple storms with tornadoes. There is a lot of interaction between those storms. It's a little bit like you going to the roller skating or the ice skating rink. If you're out there all by yourself, you're good, right? You're not going to bounce off of anybody. But if there are a lot of people there that day, then the interactions between those people are very unpredictable. And we see that with tornadoes. Don't try to outguess a tornado in terms of its speed, its path. Your best course of action is to be indoors and let that thing go by.
You know, as a reporter who's covered these things over the years, one thing that's really strikes me is that sometimes you'll go to where a tornado has touched down, like in a cul-de-sac, and one house has been devastated. The house next door is fine. The house next door to that has been devastated. It's absolutely random and utterly baffling to me why it does what it does.
And you have just answered the question that we posed moments ago about trying to predict, can I outrun it? Can I predict its path, et cetera? There is so much turbulence that goes on associated with a tornado spin up. And you can see this if you just go into your bathtub and put water in it and do your finger around the drain, right, to create that little vortex. You're going to see it bounce around, and sometimes it'll move off of the actual drain and kind of shed off to the side and then come back. And that's the exact same thing that happens in the atmosphere. So trying to predict which house gets hit, that's why I mentioned earlier with what we've got coming 5 years from now, maybe the neighborhood. I did not say house, right? I mean, that's elusive, and I don't think we're ever going to get to that point. We may be talking about neighborhoods, but not individual houses.
Okay, we'll be right back with Kevin Clazel to talk about why people chase tornadoes and whether that's a smart hobby or not. And welcome back. We're talking tornadoes and severe weather with our guest today. That's Dr. Kevin Clazel. He's director of the Oklahoma Climatological Survey. Kevin, one thing about tornadoes that we haven't talked about yet that strikes me as so interesting is there are some folks out there who are really, really frightened of these things, almost to the point of going too far with that. What do you know about them, and what would you say to those folks?
Yeah, and I think, you know, we see it everywhere, especially if you've been in a community that's been hit, right? The poor folks in Greensburg, for example. The images that you see after a tornado are things that you will not ever lose, right? And those are scary. And so I do feel, and we see our share here in central Oklahoma, I feel for those folks who are very anxious or get very anxious or have a reaction if a tornado watch or warning is issued. One of the things that we try to say is, you know, don't be scared, be prepared. If you take the preparedness actions, then you are going to be fine in most cases. I think that's the thing that, you know, when you start sort of being governed by the fear and you don't take the preparedness actions, then you wind up making your own situation worse. And so trying to, you know, kind of fight through that and just making sure, like I said, you don't want to be running around looking for your helmet. Place it as your security blanket with your shoes and with your supplies in the place that you've pre-identified. Don't wait until the last minute, because then the fear is going to be magnified. And people who are in that mode don't make good decisions. And so your decision-making is going to be based upon your preparedness. And so do that today, right? If you don't have a helmet, go get it today, right? There are so many places out there that sell these types of helmets. They're very inexpensive. You know, while you're making your contribution to the radio station today, make that a point, right? Of this is going to be the day that I start my tornado preparedness, and I'm going to go get my helmet. I'm going to get my phone charger. I'm going to get the leash for the pets. I'm going to have my shoes ready to go. Those are things that you can do today. There's no reason why that can't be accomplished today.
We're getting some questions on Twitter, Kevin, about our conversation here. One question, what if you live in an apartment on an upper floor?
So that's a challenge, right? When you start to get into congregate living situations like an apartment or let's say manufactured or mobile homes, those are great questions. And that is when you need to start thinking even earlier about what your tornado preparedness plans are going to be. That could be working with your apartment complex on whether there is space available in, for example, the office space or the clubhouse space. Many apartment complexes have an office space or a clubhouse space that can be used for people on upper floors. You might, if you have local family members or local friends that you might want to talk to ahead of time, right? Don't call them up when the warning is issued. That's a little too late. But you may have friends that you can go into, you know, their spaces in advance, and they'll allow you to do that. The one thing I'll have to be very careful how I preface this, you you want to not be in the upper floor when the tornado happens, but that doesn't mean you drive away when the warning is issued, right? Mm-hmm. There are situations where you may want to completely remove yourself from that risk and go somewhere else to a location. But again, remember the COVID protocols, right? Make sure you have your mask, make sure you're being socially distanced. And if your community has a shelter like that, make sure that you've got your COVID protocols in place.
You know, we have this sort of local legend around here. It revolves around something called the Tonganoxie Split, Kevin. It purports that sort of the mystical power of the hills somehow manages to divert severe weather away from the metro area here in Kansas City. There's nothing to that, I gather.
No, we have one too. It's called the Norman Bubble, and the Norman Bubble does the same thing, according to, you know, to lore. But no, I think in those situations, remember, tornadoes are very, very small. In the grand scheme of things, a tornado is not something that wipes out an entire large city, right? Mm-hmm. These are at their very, very record-breaking largest, they're a couple of miles across. In their typical, they are, you know, half a mile or less across. And so you're not going to get everybody hit all at once, thankfully, right? It's a sort of a neighborhood situation, not a city situation. So those are rumors, and they're nice to talk about, and they, I think, give you only a false sense of security. Hmm. And you can't rely on a false sense of security as your preparation plan.
You know,
we like to tell people hope is not a plan. You cannot just sit there and hope it misses you. Hope is not a plan.
Hmm. You know, a lot of people these days chase severe storms. You know about them. There's been TV shows, the whole thing. They're called storm chasers. What do you make of what they do?
Oh, wow. You're putting me on the spot, given that I have so many of my friends and students who do this, right? And as I've gotten older, you know, I think it's not necessarily the get off my lawn syndrome, but as I got older, it's like, oh my gosh, why? I understand that we do have a small group of people out there that have research radars and tremendous equipment, and they are out there with the purpose of knowing more about tornadoes this afternoon than we knew this morning. And that's an incredibly important pursuit. If you're out there for video, there's not any video that we haven't already seen, and you're not adding anything to the scientific knowledge base if you're just out there as an onlooker. In fact, in many instances, these onlookers create what's called chaser convergence. And that gets really dangerous because roads get clogged. If you have an accident, now what? Right? Mm-hmm. You're stuck. Mm-hmm. If you have car trouble, right? We have car trouble all the time. Flats and you know, the heater hose goes, or the radiator, or whatever. And you're just going to sit there on the side of the road, and now you've got tornadoes coming at you. That is an incredibly high risk venture. And you are not only endangering yourself, you're endangering others. And I know the chaser community is going to be like, oh gosh, Kevin's on his high horse again. But if you are not out there to contribute to the scientific body of knowledge using research quality instrumentation and those mm-hmm. kinds of things, then you really need to be inside in your safe space, in your shelter, with a life prevention mindset rather than the, you know, sort of the, I don't know if it's the bungee jump mindset, and now the bungee jumpers are going to be mad at me too, but again, you got to be safe.
We're going to leave it right there. Again, that's Dr. Kevin Claisel, director of the Oklahoma Climatological Survey. Kevin, your knowledge about this stuff is just really impressive, and thanks so much for your time today. Very much appreciated.
It was an honor. Thanks so much.